Welcome to an encore presentation of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. May your Labor Day be blessed. Labor Day is a tribute to Americans whose labors have contributed to the well-being of our country. But beyond celebrating what your labors are doing for our country, at CRI we want to celebrate what your labors are doing for the kingdom. The Apostle Paul exhorted the believers in Corinth, "My dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So for all that your labors mean to so many, we are grateful. And now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Today we won't be taking calls. A special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast coming up in just a few moments. Before I get to that, I want to say something about the CRI support team. This is a group of people just like you, who join and become the financial backbone of all that we do through our many outreaches throughout the world. And it is because of all of these outreaches, from the Bible Answer Man broadcast to the Hank Unplugged podcast, to the Christian Research Journal, to the vast resources available on CRI's website, equip.org, that people are transformed through the generosity of friends just like you. As concerned friends, as supporters of this ministry, you see the critical need for Christians to think and live Christianly in an ABC moment, in an anything but Christian moment. And support team members don't just give randomly to support our ministries. Rather, like the Rock of Gibraltar, they're standing strong, come rain or come shine. They're standing shoulder to shoulder with me and the entire CRI team, day in and day out. In a word, they are priceless as a foundation to this ministry. I'm talking about a group of people who, through their giving, whether monthly or quarterly or annually, are making possible resources that they themselves rely on, but much, much more. They're making these resources available to other believers, to other seekers, not just in the U.S., but to hungry Christians in countries worldwide. Recognizing that ministries with wildly fluctuating financial support are generally not viable, CRI support team members become a core of faithful support that causes the ministry to have a stable foundation 24/7 in our outreaches year in, year out. So the question is, what am I talking about and how can you join? Well, it's super simple. Just visit our website and choose your preferred support team level. There's a bronze level, a silver level, a gold level, but you can check this out on the web at equip.org and you can select your preferred equipping essential resources and immediately begin to enjoy your complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal and many, many other benefits. And while many support team members choose the convenience of giving monthly, you can also give quarterly or annually, whatever suits you. And regardless of how you choose to give, your benefits are the same, and you'll have the satisfaction of knowing that your support is touching the lives, shaping the minds of people around the globe each and every minute of each and every day. So many people have benefited. I think of Tim, who writes and says, I've been supporting the Christian Research Institute for over 20 years. It's been a refreshing source of truth and light in a world of so much fog and compromise. I wouldn't be the Christian I am today without the Christian Research Institute. And the Christian Research Institute wouldn't be the organization that it is today without people joining CRI's Foundational Ministry Support Group, the CRI Support Team. So check this out on the web at equip.org. Now, obviously, there are many, many ways to give. And so we're asking you to be generous if you have some of the Lord's resources, to invest those resources in this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach. Again, go to the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, to the message. I gave a message for the Lausanne Orthodox Initiative. And this Lausanne organization actually has a history. In his travels around the world, Billy Graham met many leaders who were disconnected one from another. And so he formed a Lausanne movement, which was his effort to bring these leaders together, to get them talking, to spark a movement of connections marked by a spirit of humility, of friendship, of prayer, of study, of partnership, which he called the spirit of Lausanne. We need that spirit today in the face of the despotism of militant egalitarianism, of radical individualism, multiculturalism, political correctness, religious pluralism, which are not magically redeemed by political victories. Think back to the Reagan Revolution. Even in the midst of that revolution, illiberal liberalism continued to hold sway in the education and entertainment industries that create, that manipulate, that disseminate ideological constructs that are driving civilization in a very, very dangerous direction. The task of the Christian church, the task of the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, a task that she alone can fill, is to change our world by conforming to a great commission that tragically has become the great omission of our time. The church must be awakened from a diabetic coma that has been brought on by a steady diet of fast food Christianity. We must demonstrate a faith that can overwhelm our cultural captivity through the power of the risen, resurrected Christ. We must always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks us to give the reason for the hope that we have, and we must be ready to counter cults and all that sets itself up against the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this can't be accomplished merely through intellectual equations. We must be internally equipped during this anything but Christian moment. The message that you are about to hear focuses not only on discipleship, but on participating in the divine nature, which allows discipleship to become a living reality in the modern world. Moreover, the message you're about to hear is focused on what I call the doctrine of unity. I've said it many times on the broadcast, in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, all things charity. This ministry is about what C.S. Lewis called mere Christianity. And so as you listen to the message, pay particular attention to the part about unity. I hope you enjoy this message, and I have more to say in the third segment of this broadcast.
the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I've been asked to reflect on one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." Jesus met his disciples on a mountain, as he so often did. Think of the Mount of Beatitudes, or the Mount of Temptation, or the Mount of Transfiguration. And when the disciples saw him, some doubted. How in the world is this possible? And yet, it is the condition that we all find ourselves in. Think of what happened with the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. He demonstrated that he was God in human flesh, had the power to lay down his life and take it up again, and yet some doubted. That is our predisposition to doubt. Jesus said, "Go." Therefore, go. It was an imperative for the 11, and it is likewise an imperative for us. Our predisposition is to stay and not to go, to remain in our comfort zones. We have our health, we have our wealth, we have our parishes, we have our altars, and the world perishes. It is so easy to stay within our own tribal religious ghettos. And the disciples were no different. They didn't want to go. They wanted to stay. They expected Jesus to establish Jerusalem as the capital of a sovereign Jewish empire. The notion was so ingrained in their psyches that even as he was about to ascend into heaven, they asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Well, Jesus not only corrected their erroneous thinking, he expanded their horizons from a tiny strip of land on the east coast of the Mediterranean to the farthest reaches of the earth. You will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. In effect, Jesus left his disciples with instructions to exit Jerusalem, to embrace the earth, and to never again entertain the notion of establishing an earthly Jerusalem. The disciples were no longer permitted to view Israel in exclusivistic parochial categories. Their sights must instead be elevated to an inclusive Israel. Not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they Abraham's children. True Israel consists of people from every tribe and language and people and nation. As a result of the incarnation, Jesus, not Jerusalem, is the central place within God's purposes, the place around which God's true people are gathered. All who fixate on an earthly Jerusalem are in slavery to types and shadows. Conversely, all who recognize that the shadow of Jerusalem has found fulfillment in the substance of Christ are free to inherit the earth. Free. Free to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's message delivered for the Lausanne Orthodox Initiative, a conference uniting Orthodox and evangelical Christians to support one another in the spirit of our Lord's high priestly prayer for His church. The Christian Research Institute is blessing people around the world through our many outreaches. From broadcast, podcast, the Christian Research Journal, and the millions of yearly visits to equip.org coming from America to Zimbabwe. It's no exaggeration to say that these would all quickly disappear without friends like you. We're praying for an outpouring of support. We are passionate about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the need for these outreaches has never been greater. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. We'll return with more of this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast in just a few moments. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. As an organ of the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Let's now rejoin Hank and his message delivered for the Luzon Orthodox Initiative, a conference uniting Orthodox and Evangelical Christians to support one another with mutual respect and cooperation in the spirit of our Lord's high priestly prayer for his church in John 17.
I want to focus on three things in the time remaining. The first, a thought experiment with respect to making disciples. It should come as no surprise to everyone here that Christianity is no longer the fastest growing religion in the world. The fastest growing religion in the world by far today is Islam. Christianity is yet the largest religion in the world, with over 2 billion adherents. And in this thought experiment, I want you to think for a moment of what would happen if just 25% of those 2 billion people were willing to bring one person into the church life, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey whatsoever I've commanded you. Just 25%. If 25% were willing to bring one person into the church life this year, there would be 1 billion committed followers of Christ in 2018. So I've taken 25% of 2 billion, 500 million. In 1 year, you'd have 1 billion. In the second, you have 2 billion. That's the power of spiritual multiplication. In the third, you'd have 4 billion. And in the fourth, we'd start fighting over pagans. We'd say, that's mine. I saw him first. That's the power of spiritual multiplication. Now, you say 25%? Of people who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips, are they really going to be interested, motivated to be reproducing disciple makers? Maybe not. So what about 10%? With the power of spiritual multiplication, even 10% would put us in a situation where in 7 years, we would reach everyone on the planet. Or what if it was only 1%? It would take a decade. The point here is that we must equip believers to become re-engaged in the process of making not converts, but disciples. Our Lord is preparing a bride, the full complement of God's people. On the one hand, innumerable. On the other hand, numbered. In Revelation, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls said, come, let me show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem prepared as a bride beautifully adorned for her husband. Again, the full complement of God's people. So my first point is simply that we need to get back to the basic task of the Great Commission, making disciples, not only disciples, but reproducing disciple makers. Secondly, is the matter of deification. Jesus said, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And while the word deification sounds foreign to most modern ears for the vast majority of church history, it was rightly regarded as the chief end of the Christian life. The descent of the ineffable in incarnation provides the ladder of divine ascent by which you and I may rise up to union with God to participate or partake, as Peter said, of the divine nature. We do not become gods by nature as Christ is God by nature. We become gods by grace through union, through participation in the divine energies. As Gregory Palamas rightly observed, the Logos became flesh, and the flesh became Logos, even though neither abandoned their own proper nature. Union with the divine, or deification, is God's greatest gift. It is the apex of human existence. It is the high peak of redemptive revelation. It is the Everest of experiential epistemology. The Father's greatest gift to those who have been saved through the death of his Son is the impartation of a new order of life, an order of life that is of the same quality as the life of Christ, for that is precisely what it is, the engrafting of the life of Christ. And thus, to be in Christ is more than a changed life. It is an exchanged life. It is the impartation of the life of Christ by which the incarnation continues. Such newness is not relegated to the felicity of forgiveness and purification, though it is most certainly that. It encompasses the great and glorious grace by which the forgiven now live in intimate union with the Triadic One. The Tin Man, to use a C.S. Lewis illustration, is being turned into a real man. Those who are in Christ have been transformed into new creations. My point here is that it is not enough for Christians to be intellectually equipped in the process of producing, reproducing disciple makers. We must also be internally equipped. What that means is that the church must be energized for its mission by a power that is in it, but not of it. As underscored by the Apostle Paul, those who are being made perfect in Christ do not labor in their own energy, rather with all Christ's energy, which so powerfully works in us. Think of what Paul said. We proclaim Christ, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that everyone may be made perfect in Christ. And then he said, to this end, I am energized with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. The point here for me is that we can labor with our own energy. We can be on the sidelines, not laboring at all. Or we can be energized with all his energy, which so powerfully works in us. And by the way, just on a personal note, I can attest to that energy. I have stage 4 mantle cell lymphoma. And I can tell you that though I had treatment for my cancer just before I got in the plane to fly here, I'm energized. Not with biological energy, but with zoetic energy, an energy that is not in the biosphere. It is uncreated energy. It is the energy that the disciples saw on the Mount of Transfiguration when they saw Christ transfigured and were themselves enveloped in uncreated energy, an energy that is God, for only God is uncreated. My cell phone has a limited supply of energy. In time, its internal power will prove insufficient. And yet, when I plug it into an inexhaustible energy supply, the screen will once again radiate like the face of Moses on Mount Sinai. The disciples got a glimpse of that inexhaustible energy, as I said, on the Mount of Transfiguration. They experienced the ultimate lawgiver, the archetypal prophet, in glorious splendor, and were themselves enveloped in uncreated energy. And that energy alone is sufficient to empower the body of Christ in the process of making disciples of all nations. It is the mysterious energy by which we may yet reclaim the soul of the world against the forces of insistent secularism, Islamic jihad, and our own idyllic lifestyles. My third point, disciple making, deification, is the doctrine of unity. I often say, not original with me, in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity, or as C.S. Lewis said, mere Christianity. We must embrace the doctrine of unity around the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Paul said, I appeal to you, brothers, sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement and that there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. He asked, of course, the rhetorical question, is Christ divided? Or think about what must surely be the theme of the Lausanne Orthodox Initiative, Christ's high priestly prayer. Christ prayed, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as the Father and I are one, I in you, and you and me, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Your immediate impulse in hearing those words from Christ, at least mine is, as I confess freely, an impulse of denial. How realistic is it for us to be unified as opposed to being divided? The schisms began early and often. The Orthodox Church, the Oriental Orthodox Churches after the Council of Chalcedon, 451. Then the great schism of 1054 between East and West. Then the great schism between the Reformers and Rome. And then the fracturing started in earnest. Within Protestantism, thousands of permutations.
In just a few moments, we'll pick up Hank Hanegraaff's message delivered for the Lausanne Orthodox Initiative, a conference uniting Orthodox and evangelical Christians to support one another in the spirit of our Lord's high priestly prayer for His church. In our post-truth age of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with answers has never been greater. The Christian Research Institute exists to provide those answers, and this provision is made possible only by people like you. People unafraid to stand up for truth while it's under assault. People like you whose contributions to our many outreaches are making a difference for time and eternity. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of this special edition of the Bible Answer Man. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. Well, let's now rejoin Hank's message delivered for the Luzon Orthodox Initiative, a conference uniting Orthodox and Evangelical Christians to support one another in the spirit of our Lord's high priestly prayer for His church.
Thank you very much, Randy, and you're listening to a special message, a message that I gave at the Luzon Orthodox Initiative in Massachusetts. I want to share that message with you, but as you tune into the lesson, I don't want you to forget about how important it is to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. The great commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is being carried on through this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach, a ministry that will not capitulate to political correctness, but is willing to stand for truth, no matter the cost, and a ministry that is focused on the doctrine of unity. You're going to hear that pressed home in a powerful fashion. Enjoy the message.
And I can talk to you about schism from a personal perspective as well. When I converted to Orthodoxy April 9, a year ago, I lost within 2 weeks, somewhere between 100 and 150 radio outlets. I lost my forum with the National Religious Broadcasters. We had perhaps the most popular television show for NRB, and that was cut. And the reason that was given is Hank has become Orthodox. We want to remain biblical. I remember well Chuck Colson. He used to call me all the time. He got embroiled in ECT, Evangelicals and Catholics Together. And he was virtually lynched. Some of his best and closest friends no longer considered him a Christian. The schisms continue to this very day. And so we think, how is it possible that we might find an answer to the Lord's high priestly prayer? Are we really ready to give up our tribalism? Nothing wrong with tribes, with distinctives, but are we really ready to give up our tribalism? Our Lord's high priestly prayer sounds so wonderful, but really? Again, I'm not speaking here about giving up your tribe. This is about giving up tribalism, engaging reality only through the lens of our own tribe, dismissing others as invalid with little more justification than the fact that they are not mine. Our inclination is to relegate the Lord's high priestly prayer to a wonderful sounding platitude. But I close with this thought. We must catch ourselves. Because if we do not catch ourselves and we remain within our tribalistic predispositions, we're looking down the two barrels of a shotgun. The one barrel, in recalling the Lord's high priestly prayer, remember we are invoking the words of incarnate truth. We are invoking the words of the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. We are invoking the words of the creator of the cosmos, the ground of all reality, the generative matrix of all that ever has been, is, or ever will be, the ineffable one, the being who is greater than anything that we can conceive. The real question is, do we have the temerity, the reckless boldness to ask the Lord God Most High, the one in whose presence we could not stand, is that realistic? Is your high priestly prayer really realistic? Is that really possible? How can an infinitesimally small speck of dust question the one who created that dust? We can pose questions only because the breath of heaven has blown upon us. We have the wrong frame of reality. The question is not one of realism. The question is one of obedience. Jesus in his high priestly prayer is not inviting us to cosmic consciousness or comprehension. The Lord, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Logos, by whom all things are made, by whom all things are remade, is not inviting us to comprehend the infinite or to grasp the eternal. He is simply asking us to obey. The I Am is saying what is the prayer of my heart. The N, I am, is saying, will you follow the prayer of my heart? The second barrel, should you choose not to honor or obey the Lord and thus refuse to embrace unity, be sure you want the consequence of your own settled choices. A future captive to the corrosive impact of the isms of our generation. Philosophical naturalism, materialism, secularism, atheism, scientism, hedonism, narcissism, with all their creepy permutations. Abortion, euthanasia, transhumanism, same-sex sexuality, same-sex marriage, gender fluidity, transgenderism, and the idolization of sexual freedom that gave birth to all of these isms and their permutations in the sexual revolution. If we don't hang together, as Benjamin Franklin rightly said, we're going to hang separately. We're going to see the collapse of Western civilization, the greatest mission-sending force in the history of humanity. Western civilization is corroding from within, and in the East, Christians are being martyred, and that's squarely in the blind spot of the West, and that is a scandal as well. I wonder sometimes why the Western Church isn't interested in what is happening to the Eastern Church, particularly in the Levant. Why? Well, I fear it is that many, many Christians in the West do not think that these are our brothers and our sisters because of our tribalism. If, in fact, you want to remain trapped in your own paradigms, trapped in your own tribes, beware of the consequences. The wolves are at the door. Together in Christ, we can withstand the wolves. We can keep them at bay. Divided, given the current strength of the gathering wolves, we will not survive. To be divided is like fission. You know, when Einstein discovered E equals mc squared, he discovered that matter and energy are interchangeable, that a small amount of matter can produce an enormous amount of energy. You split uranium-235 atoms, and you suddenly have this massive amount of energy, enough to vaporize a city. The problem is, with that energy, you have toxic waste. And that is analogous to the church. We're divided. We're like the split atoms. We have power, but we have toxic waste because of our division. But think about fusion. Fusion is much more difficult. It is the combining, the compressing together of hydrogen atoms, like compressing Christians together. Very, very difficult. But when you do it, you now have unlimited power forever. And no toxic waste, because the only byproduct of fusion is helium. We can fill balloons and have a party, because we're now unified rather than divided. The first see of the Orthodox Church, the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, understands as few others the intimate relationship between our understanding of the triune God and the witness of the world, the church worldwide. I spent several days when I was in Aegina, off the coast of Athens, at a monastery, reading everything that I know of that he's ever written on this subject. But let me just share two paragraphs in closing. This is what he said. There is a direct link between the oneness of Christians after the image of the Trinity and the missionary dimension of the church. The church looks not inward, but outward. It exists not for the sake of itself, but for the sake of the world's salvation. The church, as a mystery of mutual Trinitarian love, is true to itself only if the circle of love is being constantly enlarged, only if new persons are continually being brought within it. Faith in the triune God signifies that we are, each of us, missionaries dedicated to the preaching of the gospel. This unity is not simply an inconvenience, not simply a hindrance and a scandal, but it is a contradiction of the basic essence of the church as an icon of God's mutual Trinitarian love. In its quest for unity, the ecumenical movement, rightly understood, is doing nothing else than reassert the full practical consequence of our faith in the Triadic One. May God richly bless you. May He use you. May He use us together in this Lausanne Orthodox initiative. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We've presented a message Hank delivered in early June at the Lausanne Orthodox Initiative, a conference uniting Orthodox and Evangelical Christians to support one another with mutual respect and cooperation in the spirit of our Lord's high priestly prayer for His church in John 17. In today's post-truth culture of confusion, the Christian Research Institute exists to equip listeners like you with answers to communicate the gospel of hope to a world in desperate need of life and truth, because life and truth matter. In addition to truth, we want to equip you with life, not simply to know about God, but truly to know Him. Experiencing union with Christ enables us to live life not merely by our own energy, but with the energy of the Lord Jesus working powerfully through us. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.